This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for coming on the show, Eric. Appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Eric, why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what your business is, please?
My name's Eric, Eric Wagner, born and raised in Ottawa. And my father and I started a company called EndoSync. And basically, the mission of EndoSync is to manufacture equipment to make the lives, the work lives of endoscope reprocessing technicians a little bit easier, and to make the result for patients a little bit safer.
And how did you get into this particular line of work or this particular industry?
We're both pretty curious people. So while working on separate business, manufacturing business, we kind of stumbled across a thread and pulled on it. Basically, hospitals across Canada were in need, desperate need of service for a particular piece of equipment that was assisting them clean their endoscopes. And like most people, it was something we knew very little about initially. But I think a genuine desire to help kind of exposed us to the opportunity. And then in following, you know, just putting one foot in front of the other, the more we got to know the people who were reaching out to us, the more we got to understand what their challenges were. And the more we started thinking that rather than provide a patchwork solution in the form of, you know, trying our best to maintain an piece of equipment that we were, you know, learning more and more about and trying to stay one step ahead of the customer's issues, it'd be better to design a whole new system. And that way we could improve any fundamental design flaws that we had discovered, while also being able to offer them the safety and security of continued ongoing support direct from manufacturer rather than being a third party contractor. It doesn't sound like a very sexy business, but it's given us a lot of satisfaction, and it truly is one of these public goods almost that everyone will come to rely on at some point in their lives, whether they realize it or not.
So a couple of things I want to touch on here. So one is, first of all, you mentioned you and your dad, you know, have started this business. So my first question is for anybody, any of our listeners that may be thinking of starting a business with a family member, maybe you can give us some feedback or some guidelines along what it's like to work with a family member.
Don't do it. I thought I would be a professional guitar player when I was younger.
Right.
And I followed that path for years. And I had a friend of mine who was on the same path. He approached one of our favorite professional guitar players after a show, and he asked a similar question. He said, you know, do you have any advice for someone who's trying to become a professional musician? And the guy said, don't do it. And I at the time I thought that was maybe an arrogant response. I didn't understand it, but looking back, I think what he was saying was, if you need me to tell you to, if you need me to give you permission, then it's not for you. And I think the same could be said about business in general, but certainly about working with family. I work with my dad because I love to, and because we feed off of each other in a very productive and fulfilling way. But I don't think you can force that. If there isn't a spark there, you can fan a small spark to kind of create that flame, but I wouldn't ever tell anyone to kind of try to contrive it, because it can be challenging too.
But I think it could be challenging, you know, for our listeners, for any form of partnership, right? Doesn't family member, non-family member, the minute you're splitting decisions equally or somewhat equally with somebody else, as a business owner, it can be challenging. And that's a really fair point. Like you said, you know, you can't force this. I think that's really good advice. Either you know it instinctively that it's the right thing for you to do it with a family member, or you don't. And that's well put. So part two to my the question that I have is, you mentioned that, you know, you have another business, but then you kind of spun off this business. Can you take us through that thought process? Like, Eric, was there ever any point in time where you thought, geez, you know, we really need to stay focused on our core business, or you just saw this as an opportunity that was too good to pass up?
I'm struggling to come up with an answer, because I feel like it's unavoidable that it's going to be kind of revisionist history to some extent. But you know, like I know, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people listening would know as well, like as much as, you know, a bank, if you're applying for financing or something, they want you to have a business plan. And a lot of people start out that way, that, you know, we're going to go from point A to point B to point C to point D. And then at the end of the day, we're going to be a huge success. And it's because we've laid out this plan, and all we have to do is stick to the plan. But life, you know, life is messy. And so these entrepreneurial endeavors are no different. For us, we, for better or worse, we saw a really appealing opportunity. It looks fun to get into. So the passion was there, because it was something we were really excited about for our own enjoyment. And then in practice, it turned out to be, you know, the more we looked at it from an analytical point of view, the more we thought there was a real business case for it. So maybe to give you a more concise answer, not one of my strong points, is to say that, you know, we just kind of followed our curiosity, and we just learned as we were doing, building the plane as we were flying it, so to speak. And we never really saw, you know, there's hiccups along the way, but we never really saw anything that, you know, discouraged us to the point of saying, you know, we should give up on this project. Is that at all answering your question?
It is for sure. And, you know, because sometimes when you're, you know, when you're watching shows like a Shark Tank or Dragon's Den, and they're great shows, I love them both, but I find sometimes some of the advice that is you know, given can be questioned, I guess. A lot of times, you know, they'll say just stay focused on your core product, and that's all you got to do. But you know, and I do understand that, and I, you know, our advice to entrepreneurs is to not suffer from shiny object syndrome, you know, and be chasing the next big thing. But if there's an opportunity that comes your way that you think is either as good as your current business, or perhaps even better, but you'd be, in my opinion, you'd be, you know, foolish not to at least pursue it and see where it goes. I think that's a logical thing to do.
I think it's great advice to say, look, if you want to take a run at, you know, a business venture or an entrepreneurial project of any kind, you know, you need to be focused on it, and you need to doggedly pursue it. But I think you also don't want to be running with blinders on, because likely the thing that got you to the point where you wanted to try something in the first place was an openness to experience, an openness to opportunity. So yes, stay focused and stay dogged, but maybe from time to time, try to step back, and it might be worth reframing your mission. So for us, we started off the company Specialized Stainless, which was, you know, manufacturing keg washers, a piece of equipment used to clean beer kegs for craft brewing industry, small brewers. And so you might think we were a keg washer company.
Yeah, no, I can see, I can see where that's a really good point, you know, that it's important to stay focused on what it is that you're doing, but also to be open to different opportunities for sure. I would agree. On the topic of kind of lessons and business lessons, is there, you know, is there one, what's one, two, or maybe even three things that you've learned, you know, since being an entrepreneur that you didn't really see coming on your journey that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'd say everything I've learned has I'll try to boil it down. I'm terrible at managing my time. I'm terribly untrustworthy of other people. So I and I'm not saying that I'm, you know, I'm doomed, but those are two things that are always in the back of my mind, is I need to improve those two things. And every time I've tried to, for example, time management, if I, rather than try to do a million things in a day, just try to do one thing in a day and finish it, that has paid off dividends. And then the other thing is, anytime that I've trusted anyone enough to help me on a big project, that has been completely worthwhile doing. So I think, you know, don't suffer from spreading yourself too thin, trying to do everything all at once, and don't suffer from thinking that you're the only person who can do any given job, and try to, you know, trust people around you to take on things that you're feeling like you should have to do yourself.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it's part of the challenge of being an entrepreneur is, by our nature, and we like to control things. I don't like the term control freak, but I do understand it's, you know, how it resonates with entrepreneurs for sure. So, but sometimes you are right. That can get in our way when we're not willing to let other people help us, because there's only so much we can do in a day. And then I find you end up spending too much time on things that really aren't going to have a major impact on your business. So the better you can delegate, and even, you know, for solopreneurs that are listening, there's options out there. There's, you know, virtual assistants that you can rely on, or family or friends, or someone to take some of the lower end work off your plate, so you can focus on the big picture action items that can really move your business forward.
Yeah. And I think what you were just saying kind of reminded me of another thing. It's just, you know, some people, I feel the tendency sometimes to be too guarded, where it's like, you know, you end up, whether you meant to or not, kind of playing a game with people. You know, when you're selling something, you're like, well, I need to be a good negotiator. So you learn about all these negotiation tactics and stuff like that. And there's value to that. But then sometimes it kind of turns you into a type of person where, like, you know, what you're saying because you're expecting the other person to respond in a certain way. So you're not being totally genuine. And I think that there's a place for great books like Never Split the Difference and the lessons that are taught in those types of things. But I think that at the end of the day, if you can be honest with people, your partners, your suppliers, your customers, it's really more often than not the best way forward. I'd say 100% of the time. So, like, and the reason I think you reminded me of this is, if you're a solopreneur, for example, and you're really feeling like you have all this stuff that's super time sensitive to do, and you owe a lot of people a lot of things, and there's just not enough hours in the day, there, one surprising thing is, like, sometimes this has happened to me earlier today. Someone's been, you know, ringing my phone off the hook all weekend looking for something, a sales rep looking for some material to give to a customer. And he's calling me. I was in the middle of working on a project with someone here, and that is time sensitive. And I picked up. I said, I know you've been really looking forward to this thing. Like, I'm in the middle of doing this. If this thing is really time sensitive for you, I can drop what I'm doing now and get this to you immediately. He said, oh no, don't do that. Like, take your time. I just need it by the end of the day. And I think that my initial instinct is just, I need to do all these things, and you end up, doing nothing for anyone. But you could also say, like, listen, I'm having a hard time getting my priorities straight. Like, be honest with me about where this should fall. And I'm often surprised at how much reciprocity is given by other people.
Yeah, I think that's a really good lesson for people out there that, you know, it gets back to what you talked about earlier, making sure that you're trusting the people around you. And if you're having open and honest communication, you know, typically you both want the same thing. So it ends up getting done. Eric, is there within the EndoSync, I don't want to call it, it's not its own industry category, but within the healthcare industry, let's just be a bit more broad here. Are there changes that you can see coming maybe in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years that will impact that industry because you're involved with it, or is it still too early to make a comment on that particular category?
Are you asking, is there something that we're doing at EndoSync that is kind of disrupting things, or?
Well, it's a combination. Yes, if that's the case, then yeah, let's talk about that. But even if that's not the case, are you seeing, is there any trends you've seen since you started getting into the healthcare space? Trends that you think will be coming shortly in the next few years?
I think that patient safety has always been a high priority. In the last 2 decades, there's been several high-profile cases where infection prevention has, or lack of effective infection prevention has resulted in catastrophic or near catastrophic results. In the case of GI or endoscopy, that would look like an endoscope, which is used from patient to patient and needs to be high level disinfected so as not to transmit diseases, has failed. And so diseases have been transmitted. One patient goes in for a routine procedure, like a colonoscopy, for example, and they end up getting a serious infection because that scope was used on someone else and then wasn't cleaned properly. So that's always been a focus of the industries, to take care of patients and prevent that from happening, with the occasional event, happening, adverse event happening. But I think one thing that's kind of been overlooked and hasn't been given serious attention is looking out for the people who are looking out for the patients. So that would be the scope technicians who are tasked with reprocessing these scopes. And up until now, they've been exposed to harmful vapors from the detergents that are used. They've been, asked to work in less than ideal conditions, slumped over a sink that's too low or too high for them for extended periods of time. These are all things that EndoSync has aimed to address. Yes, we want to make a piece of equipment that's going to clean endoscopes as effectively as possible, but we also want to offer some safety to the technicians as well, so that they want to do that job for years and years and excel at it, and they're physically capable because they haven't had any workplace injuries result from it. So that's something we're working on, and I think that's something that is more and more, I'm not saying it's because of EndoSync, but it is more and more getting a spotlight shined on it, is as these departments since COVID have been dealing with more and more employee retention problems and staff turnover. They want to make sure that they're looking out for their people as well as they're looking out for their patients.
Yeah, those are two pretty big issues at play in that industry for sure. Switching back, and we're almost out of time here, believe it or not, Eric. Switching back to the entrepreneurial side of things, is there, you know, is there any advice you'd give to someone that's out there that is thinking of starting their own business, but maybe a little bit hesitant?
Do it. Just do something. Take a first step. Like fitness or anything else that's anything else, any other ambitious project in life. You know, if you don't know how to run, go for a walk. If you're not good at running, then go for a short run. If you can't lift 20 pounds, try lifting 5. And I think that's the project really day after day, is go a little bit outside of your comfort zone, but not so far outside that you're, you know, in paralysis because you're way too out of your depth. So just keep on pushing yourself a little bit more every day.
I think that's a great way to end the show, Eric. But before we let you go, where can listeners find out more about EndoSync and Specialized Stainless?
EndoSync is endosync.com, and EndoSync's active on LinkedIn. Specialized Stainless is, the domain was too long before, so we shortened it down to the number 3-S, so 3-S.ca.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Eric. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.